You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
For too long, rental housing has existed as a lesser than choice to home ownership. Now, we can choose to rent because it enhances the life we want. Rise has a vision for rental housing that will shape our communities and create a meaningful connection between you and the place you call home. Rise is evolving rental housing, and it starts with you. How would you like to live? Visit homesnotforsale.com to have your say. Well, thanks everyone for joining us this week. We are so excited as we have, I think, one of my favorite media leaders in Canada. Fresh, he's young. Narceny Media has been an outlet that I'm sure your brand has interacted with. I'm sure you've read articles there. I'm sure you've read listicles there. It is a media outlet to be watching, and to continue to watch it grow has been really exciting for us here at Marketing News Canada. So Chuck, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Darian. Very glad to be here.
So Chuck, those that don't know Narceny Media yet, tell us about Narceny Media and how it got started.
Yeah, so Narceny Media is a digital-only media company. Started off in Montreal in 2013. So we own and operate Narceny.com and MTLblog.com, two millennial-focused publications. Right now, we're producing anywhere between 100 to 150 stories per day. We're reaching close to 10 million users in Canada per month. And we just love, you know, we're super focused on local news and travel. So anything that has to do with your city, we're in most major markets in Canada, and we're sort of experimenting in the US at the moment.
It's incredible. So most people don't wake up and say and think, I'm going to start a media company. What was the impetus for this beginning and for this getting going?
Yeah, I think it's very a personal thing, but also, you know, a realization that I've had when I moved to the city. So I'm from a small town in Quebec, 2,500 people. So as you can imagine, it's very, very different than living in Montreal or Toronto, where it's you know, everything is different. Like the energy, the businesses, the just everything is different. Like just personally, I've always been a fan of building web brands. Like I've been doing it since I'm a kid. I sold a bunch of sites, you know, random sites in the US, probably from my 16 years old to like 22-ish. And when I left, I guess, the corporate world, or when I was working with Arisac, which is one of my older companies that I worked there for 4 years. It's a social media agency. So when I left there, it was like, well, I really want to start my own business. And I was kind of divided between starting my own agency or really going with my passion, which is, you know, building web brands. But like, I've never, it's very hard to sort of understand the large scale or trying to make money and revenue and a living with a media brand. That was in 2013. So Facebook was really starting to be that sort of central point for a lot of media brands. It was super cool to be on Facebook back then. I think it's still cool. It is cool to a certain extent today, but definitely not as much as back then. So for me, it was kind of like, you know, I just need to do that jump. So I started the business with my partner, Joshua, in 2013. And it was really like the essence of it was like, okay, well, I'm going to start a media company, but what does that sort of look like? Like where, you know, I could start from anywhere. And when I moved here to Montreal when I was 18, it was sort of like that realization that I haven't really lived. Almost like in a way where it was like, you know, I moved for college here and it was really all about sort of like this whole new life and just, you know, everything just unfolded in front of me. So it was really about like, understanding that the city has so much to offer, and like people that live here underestimate, I feel, their city and really sort of underappreciate what their city has to offer and all of that energy. So, you know, for us, it was like really about like, you know, connecting and doing a bunch of things in the city and like really going out and, you know, living these like experiences and these awesome events. So we really just started off as, you know, doing things that we wanted to do personally in the city, and like having a media company also allowed us to, you know, to have access to all these cool events in the city. So, you know, that was a bonus. And yeah, it was just really like working with, you know, with my passion, working with my skills and really kind of like going all out and trying to build a media business out of it. And kind of like my only criteria was like, well, I need to make $2,000 a month, and that's all I need, you know? So it's kind of like, if I can do that, and like, it's, you know, it's a low number, but high in number. And it's kind of just like that sort of benchmark that you need to set for yourself, or else you'll never make the jump.
That's incredible. So Narcity, is it come from narcissistic and city? Is that the, I'm just guessing here, but.
Yeah. So Narcity is for, you're a narcissist for your city.
Yeah. Okay.
I won't lie by saying, though, we came up with this like awesome name, and we just, you know, found a domain, and it was amazing. Yeah. At the very start, we wanted to find a domain with the word city,
yeah,
in it, and we found a bunch, and Narcity was this domain that belonged to, I believe, some German firm. I believe it was like, it's a very popular tourist attraction in Turkey, which was like a condo development or something, like really like colorful and like everything. And they're like, okay, so we could buy the domain for, I think it was like $2,400. You know, yes, it was a lot at that point, but it was like, it was such a good domain, and it just fit with our, you know, with our story and with our culture. So yeah, we just, we bought it, and then that's it.
That's amazing. So fast forward now, 100 to 150 articles a day. Like, how many staff is that producing that much content?
Yeah. So we're, right now we're 80 on payroll.
Wow.
So, about half of that is in content.
Okay.
So journalists, you know, we probably have, you know, if we include editors, like the newsroom staff, writers, yeah, we're probably close to like 35 in Canada. French and English for Narcity, and MTL Blog, there's like a, you know, a team of 6 or 7 behind that, just in terms of the content. And then we have a social team that supports that. And then we're, you know, this year we're going to start to heavily invest in video. You know, you've seen some videos that we've done, but definitely not to the extent that we want to. So you'll definitely be seeing more of that.
That's incredible. So we're watching, you know, CBC, Post Media, you know, Glacier Black continue to kind of, what do you call it, lose staff. Right? It's really sad. You know, big layoffs, you hear all the news, yeah. But you continue to grow. You know, why is that? And what, you know, what's the future of digital media, and why have you guys been successful?
Look, I feel, you know, this question is asked often to me, and it's really about, you know, I think it's really about like shifting and moving very fast. Like you know, we have a relatively small team, you know, compared to the more sort of old school guys, where, you know, Pulse Media has, I don't know, has a team of like 1,000 people at least, you know, if not more. For them to sort of launch a new website, it's going to take them 2 to 3 years to build. Like, it's just this massive operation that they need to scale across like all their markets. So, you know, I think it's really about like the ability to move very fast and change and adapt depending on what's thrown at you, right? Because in the media industry, it's really all about like resilience and how can you sort of, you know, like not let yourself be down or be demoralized or switched direction by what is thrown at you. Like, and I think it's really about like, you know, focusing on what you control versus what, you know, you don't, and really just like, don't spend time on things that is not your expertise, and really sort of develop that. And I feel like right now, as we've grown and we've doubled in size on staff from last year, so definitely we're kind of like, and we've been preparing ourselves for this scale. So it's, you know, it's really sort of important, I feel, to really understand what's your skill sets, like what's your strengths, and really build that kind of like resilience and speed factors in your processes and systems and operations, so that, you know, on a quarterly basis, if not monthly basis, like you can switch your objectives and OKRs, you know, really like fast to be able to sort of pivot in terms of a new direction. So for example, you know, a good example is when Google does their core updates. So they just did one. Yeah, so we were affected by two Google core, three updates this year. First one in January, second one in May, and then the third one just right now, early December. January was not good for us. May was also not great for us. And the December one has actually been really great for us. So, you know, really understanding and deep diving into the trends and like, again, it's like, well, we can't build our business model off of like these changes. Like you just can't, like you have to really stick to what sort of you're good at and what's your DNA, and then just really focus on that short and long term. So short term to be able to pay the bills, and long term is like, well, what are you building in terms of assets? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's all about like pivoting fast, changing fast, obviously keeping your costs as low as possible, and really, you know, just being open to everything that's going to be thrown at you over the next you know, years and months. Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on, you know, Google News has that aggregator, Apple News has an aggregator, Facebook now has an aggregator pulling in news. What are your thoughts on when you see a Narcity Media article appearing in Apple News, Google News, Facebook News?
Yeah, so that's something relatively new for us. So we've, as a media company, digital first and only as well, we've really understood we really rided that wave of social, right? Like for us, you know, we're a social first brand. I think on Facebook, we've got, you know, close to 2.5 million followers in Canada. So, and then on Instagram, that's been a huge focus of ours for the last 2 to 3 years. On Instagram, I think we're close to, yeah, probably like 1.5 million now. But yeah, so for us, it was really about like, how can we, bring, like, really understanding again, like, if you don't want to be at the mercy of platforms, what are you going to do and how are you going to monetize your assets? Like, for right now, it's more about, well, distribution on social is super important. Obviously, that's where like the bulk of your audience is. Then attracting that audience to your website and then keeping them there. We definitely have not done that great of a job in terms of engaging our users on our website via emails and texts and a bunch of other things, just because we were so sort of focused on that scale and really just trying to reach as much users, you know, as we can. But like now realizing, you know, at the beginning of this year, how fragile the ecosystem was. And, you know, with COVID, so for, you know, for example, for us, it was like, well, we do a lot of travel content and things to do in your city. And, you know, with COVID, it's like you could see the immediate drop in terms of organic search, and really just everyone all at once stopped to go outside and doing stuff. So for us, that's like, okay, well, wow, like that's like kind of like half our business model. It's also our long-term assets and value as well, which, you know, that content costs a lot more to create, but it, you know, but it doesn't, like it pays off over time. Mm-hmm. And we had already stretched our news muscles before COVID, thank God. But, you know, with COVID, we shifted to about 80% news. And 20% sort of evergreen and things to do in your city. So, you know, you could see that like once you like really pivot your like entire operations to cover like a certain beat, and like, you know, after a certain while, I think it was like mid-April, Google released a report as well that like search search trends and our referral traffic to publishers covering COVID started to peak. But even though like COVID didn't peak, the fatigue of users kicked in. So, you know, but it's super important to cover in your markets. Like for us, it's super important to you know, give all the facts to our users and to our people in our markets. And we have to keep covering that because it's kind of like immoral not to do it. But at the same time, it's like, it's not like users are spending more and more time on Netflix, like indoors, like distracting themselves from what's happening, you know, out there. So it's kind of like, well, you know, we have a moral obligation to sort of cover these stories, and half of our business is also in peril. So it's kind of like, okay, well, how do we pivot to make sure that we can sort of cover all of that? I forgot the first part of your question.
No, it's okay. Just, you know, what have you been doing as far as like responding to Google and Facebook and Apple News, kind of pulling those stories? Like, do you find it helpful? Do you find frustrating? Some people love it. Some people don't love it. But I love those aggregators. I use them. I find them great to kind of see what's trending. And every once in a while, I actually see a Narcity article appearing in those aggregators.
So, going back to that, essentially, with all of these trends and essentially having to diversify our content streams, we realized that we really need to, you know, with the core update in May from Google and then some updates from Facebook in June, are like, I'd say our sort of evergreen content referral traffic dramatically decreased, which means we were now entirely reliant on Facebook and Google News to sort of bring our traffic. Like, that's really not a good thing for us. And we're now competing versus all the other news outlets on essentially the same stories with less staff and less connections in the city. So we really had to like, okay, well, we need to keep at our core, which is creating a local news and travel, but we need to find other ways to distribute that content and reach our audiences. That's not on Facebook and that's not on Google. So we're, you know, we essentially right now we're still not on Apple News. We're approved. We're ready to go. We just have to customize our CMS to make it work. So we want to sort of connect it through like the API.
Yeah,
everything is ready to go on there. And then we have a partnership with Smart News, which is a pretty popular news aggregator app in the U.S. and Canada. And then there's Newsbreak as well, which is like another one. So we're Flipboard. Flipboard, we have a syndication partnership with MSN. We're now one of the launch partners for Apple Maps in Canada.
I saw that. It's so exciting. Yeah, you launched 12 guides, one in my own town. So thank you for that.
No, of course. So it's really, it's like, it's finding these opportunities for partnerships and distribution partnerships that make sense for us as a brand and for our content. Some pay, some don't, right? Like, that's still the reality of big tech. Like, some of them just don't need to pay you and you're going to do it just because you want the awareness. And some like Google is realizing, well, you know, we have to be ahead of the curve here and we need to start paying for premium news content. So, you know, we were part of their deal this year launch their Google News Showcase, which is essentially a new version of their app.
Congratulations, by the way. That's really exciting. You were, you know, that was, I know a lot of people were trying to be that and you got chosen. So it's exciting.
Yeah. It's honestly for us, it's been amazing. It's kind of like, wow. Okay. Like, you know, we're not just reliant off of, you know, off of ads anymore. And we can start really thinking like longer term and start planning and start, you know, hiring people for specific things. That's not just to really just, you know, every day, just like churn out, you know, content that's going to, you know, make an immediate impact, but also like, how can we create more longer form content and more in-depth content and platforms start to recognize that and start to value that in a different way.
And it must have felt good to see when Apple Maps came out, right? To be that first guide. That's really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, so they launched in the US, I believe, with iOS 14. So I think somewhere in September or October. And then they reached out to us a few weeks after. And they're like, you know, to be honest, I was quite surprised when I heard them sort of being like, hey, you know, we love your content. And they were looking at us from, I think they're Palo Alto. Are they in Palo Alto? I believe we had done a few bucket lists, things to do in San Francisco. And, you know, a bunch of the staff at Apple knew who we were. So we were like, you know, this is awesome. So, essentially we had a conversation with them and we decided to sort of pick our best guides in Canada and launch with that. So we have, I believe we launched with 10 guides in Canada and 6 guides in Quebec in French.
It's incredible. Congrats. One thing I want to talk about is the Narcity Campaign Manager. Tell me about that. Yeah. NCM. What does it mean? What does it mean for small business owners, for large brands? How does that apply to them?
Yeah, so we wanted to launch a self-serve advertising platform for our clients. Okay. And there's many different options out there. But as a general context, we wanted to launch a self-serve platform because we have a lot of small business clients that come to us to advertise on our websites. And we've been doing branded content for, you know, since our existence, so 7 years now. And most small businesses, and we started off with like really sort of building that client base locally and then expanding on a more sort of provincial and national partnerships. But at the beginning, it's like we found a way to really create that valuable advertisement form for our clients in the form of creating sponsored articles that were really engaging with our users and frankly converted very well for our clients. Since we've been doing that, we have a lot of demand for branded content with our, I believe we probably have like over at least 1,500 active clients in Canada. And right now we've raised the minimum buy to 5,000 in the last year. And a lot of small businesses cannot afford that. Like that's just way too much. They might have $1,000, marketing budget for their whole year. And, you know, they're going to spend most of that on Facebook and Google Ads at the moment. So, but they want to be on our platforms because they want to be there where people are engaging and people are, you know, it's not Facebook. Like it's not, you know, you're not sort of jam packed in between the newsfeed and your friends' updates. It's really like you're attached to quality local reporting, and there's brand trust that's being built there. And a lot of our clients want to be there. So unfortunately, we didn't have that option for them to be able to advertise on our platforms. And it's kind of like, you know, they could always advertise on Google Ads, Google AdSense, and then essentially, you know, they would have potentially display ads on our websites, but like that's not like for most businesses, like they won't really know how to do that, and they're just going to create like a campaign sort of at large, and it's going to get like conversions and clicks, and you know, the lowest cost wins. But you know, we really wanted to have that sort of platform, so we launched our self-serve NCM with Danads, which is a Swedish white label, ad tech company. And we worked with them for a few months and we launched NCM completely. Essentially, it's a white label solution for us and to be able to offer our clients at any budget. I think our minimum budget is $10.
Wow.
Any budget that they have for any amount of time, if they want to launch for 1 day, for 3 days, for a full month, for a full year, they can manage their buys themselves. It takes honestly 30 seconds to set up a campaign. And they pay directly on the platform, and they can monetize, pause the performance, pause creatives, change
Wow.
them, update them.
And it's ads, right? Like the display ads. It's not actually branded content. They're not
Yeah,
submitting
so it's
articles.
yeah, so it's a display ads for now. We obviously have bigger plans for it, and we want to get to a point where potentially advertisers and our clients can launch sponsored content through this platform. There's still with branded content, there's still very much a creative aspect that you can't really automate, even though I would love to. When you create stories with brands, it's a collaboration, it's a partnership. And a lot of our brands, often it's either they love to work with us or they completely hate it. It's either or. And when they hate it, it's because they, most of the time, it's they try to impose their messaging and they try to dictate the creation of the story. And we just simply refuse because that's not the type of content that we know our users will engage with. So we're kind of forcing them to be like, guys, you need to understand and you need to trust us. Like, you're entering this partnership with us, and we are here to work with you to show you which type of content works with our audience, and you're partnering with us for a reason. So a lot of the clients that sort of, once they get over that sort of first, bump, they come back and advertise with us like every month, every quarter, just because the results are always there.
It's incredible. That's incredible. I love that you're providing such a great support and option for, call them micro businesses, small businesses. Our country is full of them, right? And so I love that you're giving that as an option. You're not forgetting about the little guys as you continue to grow and get big. And speaking of which, I also saw you launched a Narcity marketplace. Tell me about that. What does that mean for small businesses?
Yeah, so the Narcity Market is a online marketplace where we curate hundreds of local merchants across Canada and in the US, and where we onboard them and connect their products essentially from their store, so either like a Shopify store or other systems, and we connect all those products into our market. So what that means is that essentially, any user right now in Canada can go on our market and shop for local items
It's
directly
incredible.
on one platform, and essentially, pick and choose what they want to buy, and they can support local business while doing so. And we're really striving at like not necessarily becoming that sort of like Amazon and really trying to reap as much, I guess, value and extract as much value from our businesses and partners as we can. It's really more about helping people discover all the most amazing products that businesses have to offer. Because with COVID on top of it, like, you can't go out there and like you can't go in markets. And well, I mean, you can go in malls, but like, it's a terrible experience. Like, it's not fun at all. So how could we sort of help, sort of unlock all these amazing products from our merchants into one place, and hopefully, help drive sales for these businesses and partners.
So Chuck, I gotta ask, and I think I'm not the only one thinking this, why? Like, you continue to have this incredible media, conglomerate, you're growing, you're doing really well. Why are you doing all this stuff for the little guy? What's the point?
I mean, again, like, when I moved here when I was 18, like, realizing, how many small business owners do we have in this country? I believe we're close to 4 million or something, right? Am I like I feel like that's right. And small businesses of any sort make up the culture of your city. Like, they any type of any type of service or product that they offer or sell is something unique in its own thing. And like, every interaction and every sort of walk-in that you have into a business, and like every like piece of branding and logos and like all of that, like it's all a mix of culture, and businesses build that culture. And for us, it's like, we wouldn't exist without them. And a lot of our story still today is around like deals that's happening, in the city, and like things to do in the city. And like, things to do in the city, it's like, Well, you know, you can go walk around and, you know, not do anything, but that's boring. That's not fun. Like you want to integrate these experiences from these merchants and businesses into bucket lists, into activities, into like exploring your city. So it's all kind of part of like a city culture web. Mm-hmm. And you have to support them. It's kind of like, it's just part of our mission as a business. We have to support them. And you know, without that, you're essentially, this is scary. I mean, it's definitely, you know, we're not like right now, like we're not saying that we found a solution to, you know, to help the millions of business owners that will potentially go under, you know, next year. And you know, some things that I often say is we need to support businesses as well, realize their potential and realize what they have to do to stay current. Like if you look at a lot of the merchants that we partner with, thankfully really understand sort of the importance of shipping and shipping on time and making sure that their products are well packaged. I feel like we're grateful enough to work with these partners that understand, but there's the majority of businesses don't understand how important it is to sort of have that full funnel and great service offering online. And you know, when you're looking at, you know, as potentially, you know, soon a father, like you want to be able to buy things really efficiently, quickly, and cheaply. You know, where do you go? You're going to go on Amazon because you have an Amazon Prime and you're going to, you know, get your diapers in 12 hours. Or, you know, so how can local businesses compete with that? And I think it's a lot about, it's possible. It's just very, very, very hard. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to sort of bridge that gap because we have that massive audience and we have that like engagement, and it's our duty to support local business because that's what makes up the culture of the city.
It's amazing. Well, as a son of a refugee who came from Hungary and started a small business, you know, in Tawasin, BC, you know, that's what helped put food on my table, man. So thank you. I want to thank you as a recipient of a small business owner. And continue. My dad is still at the register. He's still running a small business in Tawasin, and it's awesome, man. One thing I noticed about Narcity, and you mentioned this, where if you've seen Lord of the Rings, there's the dwarves, right, who go into the mines and they pull out all these gems, right? I feel like you go into cities and you pull out those gems that are those small businesses, right? Like your Honey's Donuts, right? Like kind of these little micro businesses that you give that leg up to, that you give that kind of highlight to and shine a light upon them so that they can thrive and survive in this next season.
Yeah, it's really, I feel like that's our DNA. Like, you know, we create like now and wow stories. Now is everything that's going to be, you know, trending right now and things that we need to talk about right now in these cities. But like, you know, our wow stories is where all the magic happens. And, you know, we created our brand and people identify with us by being able to find these gems in your city. And it's not just like really, you know, really sort of unique and like underground things that like you don't really sort of, you know, or you need like a password, you know, to like enter. Like, that's not like what we're about. We're about transforming everyday things into amazing experiences and amazing things. And it's really a fact of perception. And when you go in your city and there's so many negative things that's happening, like the metro is late, or there's a construction on the Gardiner and you know, it's closed down for like, you know, a full week. Like, what do you, like, you know, life goes on. And when you realize again that like your city is a living organism and there's always things that's changing and adapting. And you really, you know, it's our mission to make these mundane things that happen potentially in your city that you don't necessarily realize, you know, are full of life and really cool things. And it's you know, our content creators nail that, and that's sort of really, I feel as well, for businesses that are game to you know, play in that field and really like understand, like, you know, people's tastes change all the time. Like, for example, you know, one popular story that we had, like, I believe last year, 2 years ago in Toronto, was around, we talked about this charcoal covered black ice cream.
Yes, I know that story.
And yeah, and it's just like, it's this thing, it's just like, what the hell? I mean, it's just ice cream, yeah. Right? Like, it's just ice cream, but it's pitch black.
Yeah.
Pitch black. And, you know, it's just to like, and it's super expensive, and like, and people line up across the block to just, you know, be able to buy one and like own one and be part of that story now. So like, that's our mission, is to not necessarily like this small business that's, you know, that sold ice cream, potentially like this innovation, this small innovation has made their entire summer. And during that summer, everyone wanted a piece of that business. And I feel that's what businesses need to do. They need to look at how they can innovate within their means and what they control, and really stay on top of trends. And you know, I hope that that's what, you know, we support doing in our cities.
Chuck, I need to ask. So, speaking of people in the city, so you have some staff writers probably across the country, right? You've got your Clark Kents, your Lois Lanes, right? Reporters writing stuff, right? Kind of getting the stories out there. If someone is like a user, like a regular person, you know, I'm a dad of four kids, but I know of the best Christmas lights to go to in the Fraser Valley, so Langley area, right? It's this little gem. So I took some time and made a little Google Maps, the 12 best lights of Langley. But if you want to say, like, if I want to submit something to you, I'm curious about the submission process. If I'm just like a regular Joe, do you take user submissions like BuzzFeed or Thrive Global does at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a page called Newstip. Okay. Unfortunately, I do think that just the fact that you're asking me this now means that you don't know that you could do this. So we definitely, you know, need to put a lot more emphasis on it. But yeah, so we do take user submissions, and frankly, I mean, most of these submissions that we do take is from social. People give us ideas, spots, and comments, yep, on Instagram and Facebook, yep, all the time.
Nice.
And you know, this was actually a point of friction as we started our business in the last sort of, or like in the first sort of 3 to 4 years. While entering the media space, a lot of publications usually got their stories from PR companies and sort of getting pitched these, you know, these stories and like press releases, and kind of having to build a relationship with this PR agent, and really sourcing stories was completely different. And we brought this unique angle where we're like, well, we don't need PR agencies to tell us what to write about. And if we do, that means that we're not really connected to our city that much, mm-hmm, because we should source our stories from the people that live in the city. So when we, you know, we would often say like, hey guys, like they would, PR agencies are super important and I love them and they're doing a fantastic job for their clients. But, you know, if it's just not the same as what it used to be now. It's like, if you're a PR agency, you need to be focused on the content creators that are the people, not on the publications. Like the publications are going to source their stories from the people, not from you. So it's a lot about building that connection, but just understanding where like the popular hashtags, like businesses, just really sourcing from your friends and family. It's kind of like, you know, we often say to our people, like, if you wouldn't talk about this story or be excited to share this story and this angle with your friend, why are you spending time to write about the story?
Yeah, no, it's great.
It's kind of like you have to see it as like you need to be engaged with this story yourself, and your friends and your like surroundings need to be engaged with this story, because if they're not, how do you expect this to work? Like, it's just not like we're competing versus billions of pieces of content created per day.
Yeah.
Like you need to make sure that what you're doing is relevant to your surroundings and to your city and to your friends. Because if it's not, then you're a goner. It won't work.
So give me the life cycle of a pitch. Like I'm using this as a hilarious example of like, I've made this like scrappy little 12 lights of Langley, and Langley, again, it's 45 minutes outside Vancouver, but it has these incredible light displays that some people have spent, yeah, I want to say thousands of dollars on and hours of time. So I submit it, and then where does it go from there? Imagine we're in like a Mr. Rogers TV show where it's like, here's the life cycle of how a pop can gets made. once I submit it, where does it go?
It kind of depends. So let's say you're sharing a Google Maps guide or something.
Yeah, and I'm like, hey, I'm a guy in Langley. I'm a dad in Langley, and I know about some great lights. You should share about this on your site because it's cool, and lots of my friends ask about it.
Right. Yeah. So you're gonna. Oftentimes, you're gonna tag the place directly on Instagram, and then you're gonna say, you know, this place is super awesome. They have this cool new sort of like 50 feet snowman this year, and it's fucking awesome. This is going to like essentially we have a team that monitors comments and responds to comments as much as we can. And from this, we usually have a sourcing feedback loop where any sort of ideas, and our content creators also monitor his comments on their posts. So that helps. And we try to encourage that as much as possible because, like, again, that's where you get all your, all the good stuff that, like, is not about what sort of you're thinking is cool, is about what your audience is actually saying to you what's cool. I don't think we have this workshop factory type thing where it goes down like the funnel and goes to people. But I think it's more just about like always being on, always being alert. Content creators, like you can't just come in the morning and sit up at your desk and just be like, hey, I'm going to write about this today. Like, you know, that doesn't work that way. Like you need to come prepared. Usually you want to sort of source your stories like the evening before so that you kind of have this general understanding of what's important and what matters. And like, really it's a creative job and you can't just expect like, you know, the magic to happen. You kind of like need to do the work too.
That's really cool. That's really cool. So best pitch, and you mentioned PR agencies and then pitching. You mentioned, listen to the people, but if a PR agency was to pitch, what's your biggest advice to a pitch that works?
Oh man. I usually, and I've told this to a few PR executives as well. And I tell them like, if you want to do a collaboration with a brand and you want to pitch us this story, make sure that like it's you're giving something for free.
Yes.
Like, you know, and giving something for free, again, it needs to be at scale. Like, it can't just be like, hey, I'm going to, do a contest and like, I'm going to give this. Like, no. Like, so for example, and this is a really great example, McDonald's is one of our clients. We work with them on the media buying side. We work with them on the PR agency side. And we also write about them very often on the like editorial side. And the editorial side is not connected to the branded side at all. Like it's church and state for us.
Nice.
So when McDonald's is going to collaborate with their PR agency to, you know, launch a new Big Mac or like a collaboration with, you know, PK Subban or whatever. And they're going to give out like 500 free Big Macs and burgers at this location in Montreal. Like our story creators are going to catch that probably even before the PR agency sends it to us. And if they don't, those types of stories is like usually the PR agency sometimes gets around our email communication channels and pitches the creators directly. Okay. And some have a great relationship with them. And like, we're super honest about it. It's of course we're going to write about this for free. Like this is editorial. Like they decide what they want to do. Yeah. And they know that like everything that's free is going to work at a large scale and like fits within our pitching system. And then oftentimes even though we work with them on the branded side, we tell them it's like, well, yes, we have this like new initiative. It's like, yeah, but like it seems like our team already wrote about it. So obviously we're not going to like cannibalize this sort of organic effort. So let's work with you to amplify that message even more. And let's create like other pieces of content. So that's awesome. Really like anything that you can do for free is a winner for us. Couldn't say it's the same thing with other publications, but for us, like if you're doing free coffee, free food, you know, anything that like, you know, your friend and mother could go to, like, yeah. Something that like, again, not something within like, hey, like you can get a free coffee from like 1 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. It, you know, in this corner of this thing from like a random brand. It's like, no, like that won't work. Like do something different.
Yeah.
Do something different and make sure that like you can get as many people as possible to attend this thing. But it's usually, yeah, it's like, just think about like what story are you trying to tell here?
Yeah.
And if you're just trying to pitch a very corporate, you know, like initiative from your brands, like, you know, there's no way that our content creators will catch that. Like, again, think about like, what would the average Joe want to, or be excited about?
Yeah, that's amazing. Question I have, do you want to give a shout out to Heritage Canada? Like, are you guys one of the recipients of the Aid to Publishers support?
No.
Okay. Wow. So you guys are all scrappy, no tax support. No, that's incredible. No,
yeah, absolutely not. I mean, like a lot of businesses in Canada, thanks to the CEWS, we were able to benefit a lot, from that. And that helped save some jobs for sure. Yeah. But no, we are not getting any tax, credits or nothing around what we're doing, which is, to be honest, I was kind of surprised when I started to look into it like a few years ago, but from what we understood, Heritage Canada and others are like the CMF, so the Canadian Media Fund.
Yeah.
All of them are entirely geared and built around traditional media.
Yes, and they just updated it a month ago. A month ago, got updated, and so the deadline was 3 weeks ago for digital only publications. They just released that grant. Yeah. So
Tala is on the call, so Tala will definitely get on that.
Yeah. So they just changed it. So what happened was the Canadian Magazine Association fought for years to say there's digital only publications, and they won, and they convinced them. And so it's their first year doing it. So it was a 5-page application, and they asked for a screenshot of your analytics. And that was it. And just kind of what's your revenue and what are you paying for content creators? And then you'll get put in the pool to get a funding.
Interesting. Cool. Yeah. That like I knew that it would happen one day, honestly. I think it's all about like, you know, these organizations sort of evolving and really understanding like where the bulk of the costs are being put like into now. So I'm not surprised, but I'm glad it's happening now, and we'll definitely look into it. However, it's still like I feel it's still sort of important for us to be able to make a profit as a business and as a media business without funding, because again, you don't know what's going to lie ahead, and like there's so many things that like you can be doing, and it's really about. As a media business in 2020, you really need to understand like how are you generating value for your users and partners. And if you're not generating that value and you're not able to build a profitable business from that, then you're screwed.
Yeah.
Like your media is not done shifting. It's not done it's not done changing. And we're, you know, hopefully potentially in 3 to 5 years it's going to start to settle down, but like the landscape is going to be again completely different than what we're seeing now, and we're on the right path to be one of those companies in 5 years that's able to say we built a successful media business in Canada with all the things that's been happening, and we're able to employ a lot of people. And we feel confident that we're giving that value to our users. And eventually, you know, we want to get to a position where advertising is less than 50% of our revenue. Like I want to start generating revenue from our users eventually.
Yeah.
But to do that, that's going to require so much transformation and so much value that you're offering your users. So that's the shift that we're thinking internally now as well, is what is our company going to look like in 5 years? It's going to be different.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I, my wife and I, we subscribe to the Globe and Mail Saturday edition. We get a physical newspaper that comes because we find value there, right? And if the physical experience and reading it with the kids, it's great also for kindling, for, you know, after you read it, for making little fires, and good for the kids to make, you know, paper mache or hats. But I think one interesting thing about the new periodical fund for digital only is they don't recognize podcasts yet or video yet. So you, if you do podcast or video, you need to supplement it with a written format of said video or podcast. But they're getting there. It's really exciting. It was a really exciting update for media in Canada. So I'll send you a link to the application.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the heads up. I'll definitely look into it.
Chuck, I really appreciate you making time. I know that you, any day now, you're about to have a new baby and enter fatherhood. So an early congratulations on that. It's an exciting adventure.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah,
thanks, man. It was great to talk to you. Let's do this potentially in Quebec too.
Oh, we'd love that. We'd love that. thanks, everyone, for joining us this week on Marketing News Canada, and we'll see you next time on the show.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded at the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editor, Travis Jeffers.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.